The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, excited to have you back with us today. Great to be here. Excited for all of us to get to know our two guests today. And an opportunity came up recently. I'm actually going to be flying to New York City next week, Thursday night. One of the reasons is so I can go visit our daughter who moved up to Manhattan last October, and she's working up there. She's 23. So we're going to go. I'm going to go up and visit her. My other daughter's going with me. She's 16. But the timing worked out. Now, I've got my own 9/11 story, and if you haven't heard that before, I'll share that with you probably next week. But the timing worked out. Joel Rosenberg, famous author, best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author, has been on the show numerous times. Ann Graham Lotz has also been a friend of mine for a while. It's Billy's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz. And then I found out about a conference coming up in New York City that just sounded fascinating to me, 9/11 in the new Middle East, kind of looking at what's happened in the Middle East. And, of course, now you got the situation with Afghanistan. But that's a partnership with Chosen People Ministries. So, like, these things come up and they get on my radar screen and I'm like, what's this all about, Chosen People Ministries? When I think as a Bible-believing Christian about who are God's chosen people, of course, immediately I kind of go into the Old Testament. And I think that way, and I don't know if you've ever met a Messianic Jew yourself, somebody that grew up in the Jewish faith and becomes a believer in Jesus Christ, but my perspective on people like that is it's just fascinating. They have a whole nother level of perspective, a wholly different perspective than those of us that did not grow up Jewish, which is the vast majority of us. And so Chosen People Ministries is just fascinating and an outreach and a great history itself and an outreach to God's chosen people, to Jewish people, but also much wider and broader than that. And so we have two guests with us today via conference call. This will be fun because I've never really done it that way before. But Dr. Mitch Glazer is the president of Chosen People Ministries, as well as Darlene Line, who's one of their missionaries who's serving in New Jersey. And they've got fabulous stories themselves, their own testimonies, some 9/11. So we've got a lot of ground to cover today. Dr. Glazer and Darlene, thanks for calling in. How are you?
Wonderful.
How are you,
Darlene?
I'm feeling great. Good to be here.
We're good, Steve. We've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, excellent. So we'll all have to play like kids in the playground, and we'll all have to take turns and try not to stomp all over each other, which is kind of a challenge when you do radio with multiple people on at the same time. But I know Dr. Glazer, do you mind if I call you Mitch? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine, because I'm not the kind of doctor that can help you anyway.
Excellent. Okay, so let's start with you, Mitch, and then I know we're going to hear from Darlene. And Darlene, you can share your testimony. We'll come back and get to Mitch's, because, Mitch, I watched your video testimony earlier today, which is absolutely fascinating. But tell us a little about, kind of get us up to speed on what God's Chosen People Ministries is all about, because it's been around for a while, and this is a subject that I think a lot of born-again Christians, evangelical Christians, aren't very familiar with. So tell us about Chosen People Ministries.
Sure, Steve. Chosen People Ministries is a global mission to the Jewish people. We bring the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And we were founded in 1894, so we're 127 years old. I've been president for 25 years. We were founded by Rabbi Leopold Kohn, a Hasidic rabbi from Hungary who came to the United States in 1892.
Wow.
And was walking around the Lower East Side on the way to his rabbi's house, and he saw a sign that in Yiddish, which is the language my parents spoke when they didn't want me to know what they were saying, the Eastern European Jewish language written in Hebrew characters. And it talked about, the sign just said, good news here, and basically Rabbi Kohn stood outside the church, because a good Jew would never walk into the church, and heard the message and talked to the guy who was preaching, who was a Polish Presbyterian missionary to the Jewish people.
Whoa.
And only 21 years old. Of course, Leopold was not much older than that. And he shared the gospel with Leopold, gave him a Yiddish New Testament. Leopold Kohn read it, and after a number of months, accepted Jesus as his Messiah and felt God powerful call to begin reaching other Jewish immigrants who were coming from Eastern Europe, who were very, very persecuted Jewish people, and to help them in practical ways and to share the gospel with them. And basically, we've been doing the same thing now for 127 years, whether it be in Israel or Argentina or France or England or New York or L.A. or Chicago, no matter where there are high levels of concentration of Jewish people, Chosen People is there sharing the gospel one-on-one through the Internet, planting Messianic congregations, handing out gospel tracts, witnessing on campus, you name it, we do it, because our goal is to see Jewish people find the same Jesus that we found and to receive the gift of everlasting life. And that's what we do, Steve.
And have you seen over the years, Mitch, I mean, obviously before you became president, and but a 100-year history plus is just amazing, but have you seen over the years, has it kind of ebbed and flowed in terms of the reception of Jewish people to the gospel, or have you seen it go up? Has it been trending up? Because I think, sadly, for most of us Christians, evangelicals and otherwise, it's not something that we give much thought to. You know, most people don't, most born-again Christians don't really study the Old Testament all that much, and I think a lot of us just assume Jewish people aren't going to have any interest, but just in terms of overall gospel productivity there with the Jewish people, what have you guys seen over the years?
Well, we've been pretty excited about what God's doing. I'm a Jesus Movement baby, and there was a Jewish wing of the Jesus Movement. And so I came to faith, and I'll share a little bit more later, but when I came to faith, I mean, all sorts of Jewish people were coming to know the Lord.
Yeah.
And we were very, it was the season of Roots, and we wanted to explore our Jewish backgrounds more and fit it together with Jesus. And it was a very exciting time. And that continued probably into the mid-80s, and then we probably had a little bit of a lull. And then there was another movement. The Iron Curtain fell, and all these Russian Jewish people were searching for answers to life, because communism was atheism was a religion as much as anything,
yeah.
And it didn't satisfy their souls. They knew they were Jewish. They didn't know why. And so we had marvelous opportunities to share Jesus with these Russian Jewish people, and thousands upon thousands came to faith. And now we see many, many Israelis actually coming to the Lord.
Wow.
And so,
yeah.
And we're praying and hoping that more Orthodox Jewish people will come to faith. And we're talking to a lot of folks. And so, you know, I know it's not, we're not on everybody's our radar at all times, but my gosh, God's doing great things.
Yeah, he's doing great things. I'm going to put you guys on hold. We're talking to Mitch Glazer and Darlene Line from Chosen People Ministries, reaching out for Jewish people around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Plus, we'll talk the conference when we come back right after this. Some great stories. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Next Friday, I'll actually be broadcasting live from New York City, where they're holding the conference. And I put these links up on, and I'll mention it again, 9/11 and the New Middle East Conference, which is really looking at the Middle East since 9/11 and all the things that have developed there through the lens of Scripture. So that's coming up next Friday and Saturday. By the way, and the links that you followed, and most of you aren't going to be able to run up to New York, I know that. But you can register. Online registration is free, and you can watch it. So you can watch it starting Friday night and Saturday. And just an amazing lineup of speakers. Two people that have been on the show numerous times, Ann Graham Lotz and Joel Rosenberg, are there speaking. Of course, Dr. Glazer, who we're talking to today, as well as Darlene Line, who's one of the missionaries serving, I believe, in New Jersey with Chosen People Ministries. Just an incredible over 100-year-old outreach to the Jewish people around the world, not just here in America. So we're excited to be able to have this conversation with them. And again, Mitch and Darlene, thanks so much for being with us today. And Darlene, let me jump over to you right quick, because I want to make sure we give you plenty of time. I want to hear your story, how you got involved with Chosen People Ministries, which I also know involves your own salvation. Then we'll jump back to Mitch. Because, Mitch, I'm excited for people to hear your story as well, because most of us don't know Jewish people that have become followers of Jesus. But we'll start with you, Darlene. Thanks so much for being a part of it today.
Thank you so much. Well, I surrendered my life to the Lord and was baptized in 1991. And I refer to my testimony as saved by the bullet. Mm. Prior to becoming a missionary and serving with Chosen People Ministries, I was a federal agent criminal investigations assigned to New Orleans from September 1988 to 1991. And at the time I was assigned in New Orleans, I had just completed a very arduous 19-month undercover operation in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale, Florida area, where I was the undercover operative. And I was not saved in Florida, nor was I saved when I came to New Orleans. And the case, although it was highly successful from an enforcement to law enforcement perspective, personally and spiritually, my life was a mess. And it was completely uprooted. You see, I had a fear of God, but I did not have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
And soon things would change. You see, I knew who Jesus was, but even the devil and his demons know who Jesus is.
Right. That's right.
And in my early life, you know, as an agent, this undercover case made me very successful. I was a very successful agent and young. Now, although I can't disclose the details of it, it did involve cartels and narcotics and various federal agencies. And what does that happen when you don't have the Lord in your heart, when you don't have a relationship with him, and you become very successful in a worldview? It birthed in me pride. So I relied on my self-trinity, and I call it the I mean my. And that's what really festered in me. And in a flash, my world would crash. I went from a successful agent to an agent that had to be placed in protective hiding for a while because my true identity had become compromised. And for a season, I was separated from all my loved ones. I was not allowed to have direct contact with them for fear that it would place them in harm's way. And this was a very dark and isolated time of my life. You know, what a conundrum it was. And this is the background of right before, in a very dark time, how the Lord and his faithfulness pulled me out of that muck and mire and got a hold of my heart, and I surrendered to him. What took place? Well, one day after work, I was driving my secretary to the store. It was dusk, and I took the back roads, which were somewhat sketchy. And in a split second, there was a deafening boom. A bullet penetrated through the middle of my windshield. I was driving at the time a Toyota MR2. It's a two-seater.
Yeah, Ford tiny.
Car. Yes.
I remember
the
those.
The bullet barely missed me. If it was a stick shift. If I was shifting gears, it would have hit me in my right eye. If my secretary would have just moved to adjust the radio dial, it would have hit her in her left eye. It was at that very moment, I could hardly hear, you know, there was just this ringing in our ears. I didn't even realize it was a bullet. I realized that no human being could protect me. No amount of federal agents, no government, no arsenal of guns could protect me. I immediately called home. My parents were saved. And what do saved parents do? They pray fervently
for their
children.
That's
and
right.
And they believe that God will just, you know, hold them, you know, and that will cleave to the Lord. And they were fervent about that. And I asked them to help me get a church in New Orleans, talk with the pastor, and help me. And even when I was unfaithful, the Lord, who was faithful and true, protected me. Psalm 91 became the heart of my testimony, my story, my scripture. And I have a heart for Jewish people. And I'll share later with my 9/11 story that it would be on in the tragic events of 9/11 as I was working there. It was that very hard time when the Lord pulled me into ministry.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how
grateful for the Lord.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the connection and how you got connected with Chosen People Ministries in the first place. Now being a Jersey girl, there's you know, a significant Jewish population up around the New York area. We had one when I used to live in Chicago, not so much down here in Raleigh. And then Mitch, when we come back from the break, I want to go because Mitch's testimony. You guys don't know this, but you're listening to two people whose testimonies both involve guns, interestingly enough. But Darlene, how did Chosen People Ministries even get on your radar screen?
Sure. In the mid to latter 70s, my parents got saved in the same era as Mitch, you know,
yeah,
the Jesus movement era.
Yep.
And they were actively involved with the American Board of Mission to the Jews on in both Staten Island and Coney Island. I didn't live in New Jersey all the time. I grew up on Staten Island.
That was our
home name. Yes, which was the foundation and my introduction into Messianic ministry.
Wow.
And I would be an adult before we discovered our familial Jewish roots on both my maternal and paternal grandparents were Jewish.
Wow.
So that's how Chosen People was part of my family's bloodstream, you know. So I didn't know until later, though, until 9/11, that the Lord would call me into this ministry. I mean, I was introduced to it, but that, you know, that he just placed such a burden for God's covenant people to know the truth of Yeshua Jesus.
So cool. It's such an exciting mission field. I love it because it seems so difficult. To me, that's fascinating. And to watch, you know, Jesus came first for the Jews and then the rest of us. And so it's really cool to watch that. We're going to hit the break in about 45 seconds. But I do want a little FYI for both you, Darlene, as well as Mitch, because you both got saved as a result of the Jesus movement. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Pastor Greg Laurie out in Southern California. He also was saved during the Jesus movement. They're actually making a major motion picture.
I think we've heard of him.
Yeah, so probably. So they're making a major motion picture right now with the Irwin brothers, who are friends of mine, and it's about the Jesus movement. They're kind of using Greg's story, but it's about the whole movement. And so that movie's in production right now. So that'll be really fun for you guys once that comes out. I'm going to put you guys back on hold. We're talking to Mitch Glazer and Darlene Line from Chosen People Ministries. What an incredible testimony of what God did in Darlene's life involving weaponry, and the same thing to a certain extent for Mitch. We're going to hear that when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today, talking about personal salvation, reaching out to the Jewish people with the good news of Jesus Christ. He did come to them first, after all, as well as talking about a conference that's coming up next Friday and Saturday, September 10th and 11th. That, of course, is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. I'll share my own 9/11 story next week. For those of you that have been a part of the audience for a while, you know I have one. And it was a life changer. And so I'll share that next week. But learning more today about Chosen People Ministries, which has been around for over 100 years, and they're actually doing a conference next Friday and Saturday, which if you can't get to New York, and I know most of you can't, you can be a part of it online. So just go to 911theconference.com. That's the easiest way to get there. 911, like the number, 911theconference.com. And you can just register for free to be a part of it online. Ann Graham Lotz is speaking, Joel Rosenberg, a New York Times bestselling author, brilliant guy, Dr. Daryl Bach, Dr. Glazer, who's with us today, is going to be speaking. It's going to be just an awesome time to kind of commemorate and remember 9/11, as well as looking at the Middle East, which has changed significantly since all that happened back in 9/11 in 2001. And so that's coming up next Friday. I'll actually be broadcasting from New York City, God willing, then. But today we have the pleasure of having our new friends, Dr. Mitch Glazer, who's the president of Chosen People Ministries, as well as Darlene Line, who's one of their missionaries and serves in New Jersey. I'm glad you had a chance to speak for a while, Darlene, because I wanted people to understand that you're not from North Carolina. I think that was fairly obvious.
Oh, my accent.
Yeah, you got it. So, all right, so we're going to go from Darlene's testimony, which involved a bullet and a gun and very, very difficult and challenging circumstances. Just beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. But Mitch, your testimony that the president of Chosen People Ministries also involves a gun. So fascinating what God does and how he gets into people's lives. But you are actually growing up Jewish as well. So I'm excited to hear you share your testimony with us, Mitch. Please go ahead.
Sure, Steve. And by the way, Darlene, I don't think you have an accent. I hope our prayer partners, friends, and supporters won't drop our support after they hear my testimony, and you'll know what kind of character is running this organization. You know, but God is good. So I was raised in a very, very traditional Jewish home in New York City. We have five boroughs. I was in the borough of Queens and went to an Orthodox Hebrew school, bar mitzvah at 13. I was a nice Jewish boy up until about 13 and a half, I think, maybe 14. And smoking, drugs, and, you know, everybody was doing it, so I did it too. And eventually my parents went fled to the suburbs in New Jersey, and I was already the end of second half of my junior year, and so I got more involved with drugs, began dealing some drugs, and went off to the University of Bridgeport, Connecticut, and made it about 3 weeks, blew all my bar mitzvah money on my tuition, you know, and then at the age of 17, me and my good friend Ephraim Goldstein, that's a Jewish name in case you were wondering, Ephraim and I went to, we wanted to go meet Greg Laurie, but we couldn't at that point. He was in Southern California and he wasn't saved yet. So,
and there you go.
So we were very, very, what's that?
I said, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. I've read his testimony. And so we went out and built a houseboat in Sausalito, California with two other Jewish hippies. And I kind of retired at the age of 18 because we had no expenses living on the houseboat. We borrowed plumbing. We borrowed electricity. Mm-hmm. And so on. And I kept up some of the drug dealing. So I made a deal with a guy with 10 kilos of marijuana, and you had to get out to our houseboat on a rowboat. So I brought him out on the rowboat to our houseboat. We were making the deal. And then all of a sudden, I hear thump, thump, and I look up, and probably about 7 or 8 guys ran into our houseboat, which, by the way, was just a shack on barrels. So
yeah.
Too impressed. And so they ran into our place and with guns and said, where's the stuff? And I knew that if I told them where the stuff was, if they didn't kill me, the guy who was we were dealing with, he would kill me because he was crazy also. And so they tied all of us up, me and the other 3 Jewish guys and one other friend, and they put a sawed-off shotgun to my neck. Said, I'll ask you one more time with the rest of it. And you know all those stories about your life flashing before you in those mm-hmm. moments? Well, I didn't have that much of a life, so it didn't take long for the flash.
Yeah.
You know? And all I could think about was, what an idiot. I'm going to die for like $1,000. This mm-hmm. is not worth it, you know? And if you've never felt the cold feel of a sawed-off shotgun against your neck, you don't know what you're missing. And then all of a sudden, the guy said, let's not shoot him. Let's just burn the place down, which I felt was a good alternative. You know, I didn't really want to get shot. And they left. They took the drugs. They didn't burn us down. They didn't shoot us. The guy who was crazier than these guys that stole the money went into the area where these guys went and with a group of about a half a dozen armed men got the drugs back.
Mm.
And so we kind of got off the hook. But what would an experience like that do to you? I'll tell you what it did to me. Number one, I thought I needed a new occupation. Drug dealing was getting a little dangerous. And it also began revealing my own emptiness, my own soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I began seeking God through Eastern religion, through anything, Judaism. The only thing I wasn't seeking was Christianity until one day somebody handed me a Bible and I began reading it. I wouldn't read the new part because it wasn't Jewish in my understanding, but I read my part of it. It was so dynamic, so exciting. I really wanted to know the God who was behind this whole thing. And then one day I prayed, God, show me the truth. And I was in a phone booth in the Redwood Forest. It was very spooky and late at night. And after I prayed, God, show me the truth, there was a copy of Good News for Modern Man, a modern English version of the New Testament, which I did not know that's what it was.
Yeah.
But it was there on the ledge where there should have been a phone booth. And if you're listening and you don't know what a phone booth is, look it up in Wikipedia. And so it was glowing in the moonlight. I picked up the New Testament, and I really didn't know what it was. It had strange chapter titles, Matthew, Mark, Paul. I mean, who are these people?
Yeah.
I was raised more Orthodox Jew. And then I looked at the little stick figures in that Bible, and the stick figures had long hair, and I figured out it was Jesus, not another hippie like me. And so I began reading it. I read it, I think, in 2 days.
Wow.
And it was the most, I was transfixed. It was the most incredible thing I had ever read, and I instantly fell in love with Jesus. I realized he was the fulfillment of not just the Old Testament, but of everything I was looking for. I said, if anybody was like God, it would be him. Mm. It's true, he was. And I accepted Jesus, and that was the end of my drug career. It was the end of my doing drugs, and I never looked back, and it's almost 50 years, and the Lord has been incredibly faithful and gave me the privilege of my life.
Yeah.
All I wanted to do was to go back to New York City, where there were so many Jewish people, and tell them about Jesus. And I've had the privilege of doing that for all these years.
So I wanted to ask, I wanted to ask you that, Mitch, and thank you so much for sharing, and praise the Lord what he did in your life like he did in Darlene's. But when you go back to New York City, all of a sudden you're a Jewish follower of Jesus Christ. I would imagine that might not have gone over too well with your family back there.
Well, they threw a party and named me B'nai B'rith Man of the Year. No, not quite. So everybody was angry at me. I wasn't allowed to tell my mother, my sisters. I wasn't allowed to tell my grandparents. I had to be quiet at our first Passover Seder when I was back east. And I enrolled in Bible college. I thought you just went there to learn the Bible. I didn't know that you could become a missionary or a pastor by going there.
Wow.
What Jewish people don't know about evangelical everything is amazing. And so I went to Bible college and didn't share the gospel with my grandparents, but I shared the gospel with everybody else. And, you know, it was difficult. The worst thing that happened to me, Steve, honestly, was my grandparents. My mother said, let me tell your grandparents, you know, my parents, about what you believe. And she did. And my grandparents, I don't know what she said, but my grandparents never talked to me again.
Wow.
Steve, I've been beaten up. I've been rejected. Everything happened. I've gotten attacked by German shepherds, both in Israel and other places. Believe it or not, twice. Once in Israel, once in Oregon, for witnessing, handing out tracts. Nothing hurt me as deeply as losing my grandparents, because I love them so much. And as far as I know, they didn't know the Lord. And so be kind to your Messianic Jewish friends. Sometimes they're going through some struggles and they don't want to make a big deal out of it.
That's exactly right. That's right. Yep. Such a great point. Thank you so much for sharing. I do have one follow-up question for that, and then we'll talk about, both of you have 9/11 stories to share, so I want to get to that. We're talking to Dr. Mitch Glazer, who's the president of Chosen People Ministries, along with Darlene Line, who's one of the missionaries with them serving in New Jersey. Incredible testimonies. Praise the Lord for that. 9/11, and we'll wrap it up when we come. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. Tomorrow we'll kick off a brand new season of Theology Thursday, brand new partnership with Bob Jones University and the seminary down there. Super excited to have them on. They have a lot of firepower down there in terms of their professors and PhDs and engaging issues in the culture. So we've got a lot to work through and a lot to talk about, which is some of the greatest thought leaders in evangelicalism. So that starts tomorrow, official Theology Thursday kickoff with them, and it'll be every Thursday for as long as the Lord allows us to do that. So we're excited for that. We're going to be going down that road. So that'll start tomorrow with Dr. Steve Pettit, who's the president of BJU. So I'm excited for that. We've got a lot of ground to cover tomorrow. We'll specifically be talking about, I think it's Harvard that just hired a new chaplain. And of course, he's an atheist, because that makes perfect sense. We need a chaplain. Oh, let's interview an atheist. That just fits perfectly, right? So that's going to be going on tomorrow. But today, talking to our new friends, Dr. Mitch Glazer, who's the president of Chosen People Ministries, as well as Darlene Line, who's one of their missionaries serving in New Jersey. And the websites for those things, by the way, just chosenpeople.com. I put the links up several times on Facebook Live today. Chosenpeople.com, as well as the conference, which we're going to talk about briefly here in a minute. 911theconference.com. Knowing that most of you can't get to New York City, if you can, it's going to be even more powerful in person. But you can register and be a part of it for free online. So make sure you go check that out. 9/11 in the New Middle East. We'll talk about that in a minute. 911theconference.com, but it's also at the Chosen People homepage, chosenpeople.com. But again, I did have one question for you, Mitch, I'd like to ask real quick, and then you both can share a little bit about your own 9/11 stories and then the conference, if you'd be so kind, Mitch. But here's my question. Why do you think it's so deeply offensive and troubling to Jewish people, in this case your own grandparents, when another Jewish person becomes a follower of Jesus Christ and they find out about it, why is that such a difficult situation? And why does it all too often lead to things like the separation you experienced?
Yeah, that's a very, very important question. In fact, I believe it's the number one reason why Jewish people do not consider Jesus, because they understand that basically they will be rejected as part of the Jewish community. And the reason for that, Steve, goes back, well, not to the first century, but probably pretty close. And most of it has to do with the gruesome and horrible way Jewish people have been treated by quote-unquote Christianity throughout the ages.
Yeah.
And so basically, you're either us or them, and the them that we're talking about persecuted the Jews. So it's not simply that you're disloyal or that you're believing something wrong theologically. Those are issues for sure. But the major issue is that you've joined the other side who persecuted us. And so you're not just luring people away from their religion. You're actually leading them to something that's hostile towards the Jewish people. And therefore, there's a special word, epikuros, in Hebrew, that's used by religious Jews, or mishumad. And those words mean either traitor or apostate.
Wow. Yeah, very, very heavy. And, of course, it would take a lot of time to kind of work through that and relationship and such a difficult thing. But that's a reminder to all of us. I would ask us all, do we ever pay a price for our allegiance to Jesus Christ? And if you never feel like you paid a price in any way, perhaps you're not doing it right. If you never open your mouth, if you never try to share the gospel, if you never try to live in a way that's contrary to the culture, then you never peek your head up over the wall and you're never going to take any incoming fire and nobody knows. And so you're a camouflage Christian and it's nice and safe. So if you never, ever pay a price for your faith, I'd have to lovingly question whether you're doing it right at all. I want to come back to you in a minute, Mitch, and talk about 9/11, your experience as well as the conference. But Darlene, you mentioned earlier, Darlene's a missionary serving in New Jersey with Chosen People Ministries. You mentioned that you also have a 9/11 story. So would you share that with us right quick, please?
Yes, briefly. It would be on September 12th, the day after, in 2001, that the Lord would call me into ministry. I was a special agent, as I mentioned earlier, and a first responder. And I remember going down to Ground Zero as a first responder, and along with other law enforcement and firefighters, there was this overwhelming desire to help. And I remember looking through the smoke and the fire, and there was this deep crater and if I look to the left, it's where the Twin Towers once stood. They were no longer there. You just could see just beams and smoke. And I remember looking at all that devastation. And then in the midst, as what they called the atrium, it was like this big pit where the buildings just imploded down. And I saw this cross in the center. And I said, Lord, you're sovereign. God, you're the rock of my salvation. That very cross is the cross that stands in the museum today. It would be at that moment that the Lord would call me in the most desperate of times, that he proved himself so faithful that he would call me into ministry. I thought I'd have to drop everything and say, Lord, you don't want me to be an agent anymore. You want me to leave this recovery? And he said to me, be still and know that I am God. And truly, the situation truly was beyond any of our control. But it's never beyond God. And although we felt helpless, praise God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, we were not hopeless.
Amen. And that's exactly right. And sometimes it's hard to remember that in the moment when you can't see up and over the wall. But God is faithful. He's there before, during, and after. Which is why we should have supreme confidence. I mean, it doesn't matter what I go into, even if I make a bad decision, the Lord's already on the other side of it and that call to ministry, which if you're a Christian, you're in ministry. You may not know that, but you are. That's the deal. You got enlisted the moment you were born again. What about for you, Mitch? I know that you've got a 9/11 experience as well, and then let's talk a little bit about the conference.
Yeah. Well, mine was from the vantage point of a parent, really. I think the hardest thing for me on 9/11 was watching the towers get struck. I missed the first plane, but then was watching on television, saw the second plane. That's when we all realized that this was an attack. And I was in mid-Manhattan, so I didn't know what East 51st Street, you'll see the place, Steve, between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. I didn't know whether or not the next, there would be another plane that would go into the United Nations or any, you know, Grand Central Station. I mean, who knew what was going on? And we knew so little about Middle East terrorism at that point, which is one of the reasons for this conference, because 9/11 was an earth-shattering moment when Americans and evangelicals especially finally realized what Israel was dealing with day in and day out, you know, and things really changed. And but for me, it was really a parent thing. My daughter was on the subway going from Brooklyn, where we were living, to the Upper East Side of Manhattan to go to public school. And I knew the route. I know the station. I know the time. And she would have been right under the Twin Towers. And they fell. And lo and behold, actually, one subway station near Wall Street got wiped out. It took almost 15 years to put it back together again, maybe longer. And so everything was shut down, no cell phone service. And it was, rightfully so, the teachers wouldn't let the kids out. A lot of kids lost their parents that day and at that school. And I didn't know if my daughter was dead or alive until about 4 o'clock that afternoon.
Oh, gosh.
And so for me, 9/11 was so deeply personal that when I checked to see who was going to do something on 9/11, whether there was a Christian ministry or anybody who would do something. And at that time, nobody was doing it, I think, because most churches are going to meet on Sunday and they'll do it on that day. But I felt like we really needed to do more to honor people like Darlene, who was so grateful for so many reasons, but she really sacrificed herself along with a lot of the other agents and the first responders. And I mean, my whole fire department in my neighborhood in Brooklyn was killed, you know.
Yeah.
And we just owe so much to these folks. And we're going to have some of the folks from Samaritan First, Billy Graham, and also from the Southern Baptist, who all came in with great strength, passion, and sacrificially worked downtown. One guy praying for the bodies that came in, you know, and others cleaning out the apartments that lots of Jewish people were living in downtown but were thrown out of their apartments because of the aftermath of 9/11.
Yeah.
And so we want to talk to these people and find, hear their stories and thank them. And, you know, Marty Goetz on the TV?
Yep.
You heard Marty before?
Yep.
Okay. So Marty's my favorite messianic musician. And we asked Marty and his daughter, Misha, to join us.
Wow.
And Marty has written a special hymn to honor the heroes of 9/11.
Cool. That's awesome.
And we will be breaking that out on that day, too.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's a very emotional subject for us. 20 years, but, of course, with everything that happened in Afghanistan over the last couple of weeks, it's reopened all the wounds.
That's right.
And so it's going to be a very moving time, and it'll be a worshipful time. It'll be a healing time. And it'll be a time when we can really thank God for the backstory of how faithful he worked.
Amen. Life. And that'll be next Friday as well as Saturday. What times is it on Friday versus Saturday, Marvin? Mitch, what times are they?
We start at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then we start at 8:30.
Yeah, so in the evening on Friday and then the morning on Saturday, 911theconference.com. But I want you to also make sure you get over to chosenpeople.com. You can find it right there. So just go to chosenpeople.com, find out more about the ministry, how you can support it. And the conference, to attend the conference online, is free. Next Friday, September 10th, and Saturday, of course, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Dr. Mitch Glazer and Darlene Line from Chosen People Ministries, God bless you, my friends. I look forward to seeing you next week.
See you then.
Thank you.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.